I'm Madeline Walter.
I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
We're the hosts of Definitely Dying, the podcast that's a safe space for listeners and funny friends to talk openly about their medical dramas, both real and imagined.
We're part of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, with new episodes released every Tuesday.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else you love to get your podcasts.
Stay healthy.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most, Dan Black, the modern day Goof Haraja, Donski Blackamora, Donnie Kayfabe, coming at you from the studio after a big, big SummerSlam weekend. Oh my God, there's way too much to cover. You can hear how pumped up I am. Now, hey, everybody, remember, before we get into all this, let's get the admin out of the way, okay? Give this podcast 5 stars. This is a 5-star podcast. We're not paper champions. We deserve 5 stars. Okay? Maybe write a little message. I don't really care. All right? Now, hey, remember, you can cash in and get your opinions on the show. You call in, leave a voicemail, and your opinion will play on this show if it's good enough and if it's concise enough and if it is in English. if you want to call and leave that, the number is 316-516-530-2429. All right, hey, we just got to get right into it. Now, as everybody knows, Nasty Newman, he's not here today. He's off microphone. He is here, but he's not. There's no microphone. And I'm here with my guests, the Lucas Brothers.
What's up, man?
How are you? Too sweet. I'm too sweet. Are you too sweet?
Too sweet, man. I'm feeling it, man.
Hell yeah. Look, there's a lot to get into, but before we get into the actual wrestling, I just want to say that I'm pumped to have you guys here.
Oh, thank you, man.
Because you guys are... My interactions with you guys are exactly why I started this podcast. I'd bump into a comedian who I know love wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just walking on the street. Last time I saw you guys was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
That's right.
About 1,000 degrees out.
Yeah,
walking my dog who's too furry for the heat. And we stopped in the middle of the street and we talked wrestling for what felt like 2 hours.
It felt like two hours. We were fucking sweating, man.
Yeah, we were sweating. But... We had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I felt like we were chopping it up.
Yeah.
So that's why I would be in auditions and I'd be sitting there talking about it. Brock Lesnar's pecs.
He's a big dude. He's a, you know.
And I go, you know what? We got to record this.
Of course.
People need to hear this.
These are the conversations that the people want.
This is what they need. Yeah. They have to have it.
It's not a want, it's a need.
You're right,
man.
It's a need.
Yeah, all right. So before we get into the topical stuff, I want to ask you guys. Do you guys consider yourself a tag team of comedy?
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. The tag team division has had a huge influence on our essence.
Yeah, is that true?
Yeah.
Like, when you guys were growing up, did you connect more with the tag teams?
We loved the Hart Foundation. We loved The Rockers. We loved... Who else?
Legion of Doom.
Yeah, we definitely love
the tag team.
Two guys who dressed alike. We loved it.
Huge influence.
Because you guys have like a kayfabe essence. Like you dress similarly.
Mm-hmm.
You do comedy in tandem.
Yeah.
You attack it like a tag team, and I love it.
Yeah.
And not like a tag team like Sheamus and Cesaro, hodgepodge, Rollins, Ambrose. No.
This is the Rockers. This is Hart Foundation.
Yeah, this is a throwback.
You guys are basically the Young Bucks.
I like that. I mean, yeah, I love the Young Bucks, man. They're fucking dope.
Yeah. Hey, these guys are hilarious comedians. Make sure you check out their specials on Netflix now. It's called On Drugs. How'd you guys think of that title?
I'm a big fan of John Stuart Mill and his most prominent piece of philosophy was called On Liberty. So I just said On Drugs.
Oh, shit.
It's like, you know.
That was so much deeper than I expected.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's like me. Everything I do is like, you think it's just like, I'm like, I don't know, fart.
No.
And I'm like, no, it's because I farted, but I was in very deep thought, and I decided that, you know what, I want to marry my wife.
those are the most insightful moments.
Of course.
Okay, so here's another moment. I watched you guys do it. We were on a show together recently, and you guys went up, and I watched your set, and you guys were working out jokes. You might have tossed this joke a long time ago. But you told the joke about the Dudley Boys.
Do you remember
what that was?
Oh, yeah, it was the... Trump and Ben Carson are the Dudley Boys of fascism.
Yeah. I love that because like, I have a bunch of wrestling material. Yeah. I do a lot, but I work really hard to like. All right, you know what? I'm like, all right. If no one knows wrestling in the room, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna like make sure that it's accessible. And I'm like, yo, fuck that.
Just do it.
That's
man.
Your fault. Yeah. Wrestling's the if you're not watching wrestling, you're a fucking
Here's
asshole.
The thing, for the people who do get it, that's what you do it for. Yeah. You do
that's
it for
right.
the people who
we told
get it.
We told a Limp Bizkit faith joke in Indiana, and I think one person got it. He laughed a little bit.
A little bit.
Slightly, and I was like, this is who I do it for.
Yeah,
I do it for the chuckles, man.
That was me. That was the Dudley Boy joke. And you know what? You guys were like working it out, and maybe you didn't like it. I don't know at the time, and you kind of like I don't want to say you bailed on the joke, but I'm saying
we're the kings of bailing. I bail all the time.
Yeah, I bail all the time. Also, I'm not insulting you guys.
I love bailing.
Yeah. We only tried that joke once, but it was like one of those.
The crazy thing is we've been developing it for like.
Not even development, but talking about it for like a year. I'm like, oh, let's try it.
Yeah.
You talked about that joke for a year? Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Before Trump was even in a fascist.
Yeah. Before he was, this is when Ben Carson joined his...
Stable.
Yeah, joined the stable. Oh, this is perfect.
He joined the stable. Oh, man. That's unbelievable. So... Do you guys, all right, that answer was better than I expected.
Yeah.
Both of those answers were incredible. This is why we can't, when we bump into it, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I seen you guys from across, like, the hall, and I just, like, throw up the two sweeps. And I'm like, and as I'm doing it, I'm like, these guys are like, oh, this fucking guy.
No, we've been wanting to do this for a very long time.
Yeah. We watched the pay-per-view together at your spot. The pay-per-view we watched when Sting's career ended.
It was the saddest. That was so depressing. You don't want to see the legends go out.
Nah. Not like that, man.
Nah, but I love that Rollins kills everybody with the same move.
Yeah. He's so... I don't want to say...
Hey, man, Bret Hart called him out on it, man. He said he was dangerous.
I mean, Bret Hart. I mean, he's a real stick in the mud.
Hey, look, man. Bret was the most technical wrestler of all time.
The most profound technical wrestler. Yeah, he does it. The most profound technical wrestler of all time.
Also, the guy who takes himself way too seriously.
Yeah, man, look. Someone has to.
He only put on classics.
Listen,
he fought Haku, and it was a classic match.
Well, he fought
1-2-3. I mean, 1-2-3 is great.
Well, the Diesel match was a classic.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think that. Listen, I'm a major Bret Hart fan. Okay, right.
Himself too seriously though. But I love him, man. So he can do that. He can afford it. He's the greatest ever.
He arguably is the greatest ever.
Yeah.
Our generation.
Sure.
Like. A lot of people, their favorite wrestler is Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty commonplace.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's one of the wrestlers, when you go back and watch matches, they hold up.
Yeah,
like, he's right.
That's right. Without a doubt.
And also, the thing about him is that he is... His gimmick of taking himself so seriously is actually so good.
I know.
If he would sell it harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he undersells that.
I guess he did kind of undersell it.
I think he takes wrestling very seriously.
Yes.
And I like that. I think that his attitude and his approach to wrestling has such a profound impact on the next generations, where they started to take it way more seriously. Maybe not the generation immediately after it, but the two generations past, now everyone just takes it seriously. Like, you look at Kenny Omega, I mean, like, his approach to wrestling is so, like, eerily similar to the Hitman.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Also, Kenny Omega also takes himself seriously. But I think he's a good example of a guy who has fun with that gift.
That's right.
He
does have more fun with it.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm like, he's... Well, I don't think he has a personal life.
I think it took Bret a while to find his voice. And he was starting to find it right toward the end of his WWE run, which is... And then he had to leave, unfortunately, but...
Yeah.
I think he was at his peak.
Did he have to leave?
I mean, he was getting paid.
Yeah.
I would have left too.
Yeah. All right. So, look, let's get into the 40 hours of wrestling content that happened this week. Actually, I think I undersold it.
Yeah.
How many?
I think
it was like 17 hours of content.
Yeah.
And while an amazing feat that they're able to sell out, the Barsays.
Barclays.
The Barsays? What is missing? Oh, here, hold on.
So this is what a sold-out Barsays looks like. So this is what a sold-out Bars Case.
The Bars Case? Well, the Bars Case Arena, I mean, look, to be fair, I almost said it wrong also.
Yeah. I thought you were saying it wrong. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
No, I was trying to do it, but I couldn't remember I did it. But luckily, I got the clip thanks to my my tag team partner, the soundboard.
Nice.
Yeah. So there was a lot of content, but how did you feel about this weekend? Did you walk away exhausted? Did you say, WB, why do you shower me with so much product?
I kid you not. I was running on fumes with SummerSlam. I fell asleep immediately. I was falling asleep during the event. And then after it, I fell asleep immediately. To be fair, we had just come from Denver. But it was still kind of long and kind of boring.
And there was a lot of, I don't want to say too much content because I know that, you know, this is what the WWE has to do now. But, yeah, it was more than usual.
Yeah.
And the SummerSlam was long as shit.
I felt it. I felt like, and you know, we'll get into the matches and stuff, but I felt like the first 2 hours of SummerSlam, I could have done without.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah. You could have gotten rid of those 2 hours.
Those full two hours, you could have done without.
The pre-card, it was like, oh, man. Like, they're really just stacking it on.
Well, the WWE keeps, they do this thing now where they're like, all right, they treat it like SummerSlam and WrestleMania, they treat now like your elementary school theater play, right? Where it's like, all right, well, we got to find a part for everybody.
Yep, yep.
And you're like, no, there's a lot of benefit in sitting out.
Yep, I agree.
You know what I mean? Even you look like Ziggler came back on Tuesday, and I was like, oh, it's cool we missed him for a little bit because it's like, oh, hey, it's Ziggler. Yeah. It felt special.
Yeah.
You don't need to throw in that Randy or like, oh, well, Rusev needs something. And then you end up hurting their career over helping. Yeah.
I didn't understand the necessity of the Rusev debacle.
A continued burial.
I know it's been sucks, a 2 year burial.
All right, so getting into the whole weekend, NXT show was incredible.
Sure, NXT was dope.
And SummerSlam, you know, not as good. The main event was great, but are we at this point now where I want your opinion on this? Are we at this point now where NXT should still be the Farms League? Should it still be like where they're pulling wrestlers from, or should it be actually a separate brand?
I would like for them to kill the Raw SmackDown split and maybe make NXT that sort of competitor. I mean, it's just so stupid when you say it's competing against itself. Then it needs to be some sort of fresh take on wrestling because the SmackDown Raw thing is stale.
Yeah, and the problem with the call up is like they take these guys who are, you know, finding themselves in NXT and then they bring them on the main roster.
And now it's Vince.
And they wither away.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know if that is certainly not helping them.
No.
Even how they're using Nakamura. It's like, he was killing on NXT. Maybe.
Exactly.
Like, why? What's the point of Sami Zayn? Like, just.
Right. And you're, cause I totally agree. Cause my point is that, like, look at a guy like Johnny Gargano, right? Mm-hmm. He's like a prime example of a guy who I'm like, does he ever need to go to main roster? Will that help him?
Yeah.
Or if he sticks around in NXT long enough, he could be the champion. He could be the Daniel Bryan of NXT.
Yeah.
What is a better role? You know, I think right now it's still this. They're selling out Barclays Center. Yep. People are popping. I mean, like Adam Cole, everyone in the room knew who he was.
Yeah.
That's a real brand. Yeah. I don't really know if they keep gutting it.
Yeah.
How much that helps. But then I think about the comedy world and you think about the exodus from New York to LA, and sometimes that gives people opportunity.
That chance, yeah.
Is that what makes NXT so good? Is the fact that their spots keep
opening? I just feel like if the person should either just be surefire, because like, what was the point of bringing up Apollo Crews?
Yeah, like way too early.
Way too fucking early. Yeah. Like, he needed at least another year, maybe even two, in development. So I think that just needs to be a little bit more.
For some of those guys, like a Samoa Joe, he doesn't need development.
Yeah, for sure. I know. That's what I mean. Like, if it's a surefire bet, like Samoa Joe, and I thought Nakamura, but and he's still just the jury's still out for
him. But the question is, like, if you elevate NXT to the level of competitor and it gets all the marketing and all of that jazz, like, would it dilute the quality of the NXT brand? Would it become just SmackDown? I mean, SmackDown's great, or it used to be great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a curious question. I mean, I feel like there's already too many wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's tricky because there's such a high level of talent. And clearly WWE is in the zone right now they're like, hey, if we sign them, they can't wrestle anywhere else.
That's right.
Right? You know what I mean? So like, hey, Chris Hero, let's take him off the indie scene. Right? Like, we don't know what we're going to do with them. But
we may see more wrestlers defecting, though. Like, you know, with Cody Rhodes is doing. And maybe, perhaps that opens up a lane for wrestlers who have found a sweet spot in NXT, but, you know, they get lost in the shuffle in the main roster. Perhaps
right.
They
well, I think I read that Triple H is saying that now wrestlers are going to go back to NXT now.
So they're going to be more fluid.
I think that's really smart.
I like that.
Can you imagine they take a guy like Ziggler? And that's just from our Comedians of Wrestling, our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's mentioning Ziggler. It's like the first guy where they're like, make Ziggler the NXT champion as a heel.
I agree.
And as like the you know, the guy who's like all natural ability, like no indie scene, you know, and he's murdering these indie guys. I don't know. I feel like that would be real heat.
I think that's a good idea, man. Like, what's the what is he doing now? Like,
it's
right.
like he's just wasting on the main roster.
Right.
Like, go down to NXT
and let's
have
see
some
him
fun.
Wrestle. Yeah, let's see him like put on some epic matches, and I think that'll build up his credibility. I mean, yeah, it will build up his credibility a little bit more. Yeah.
Right.
Or Rusev, go back down to NXT.
Rusev and NXT could be like the squash champion.
Easily.
Plus, there's a bunch of monsters down there, like Lars or whatever, that he could really go toe to toe with him and have. Some good matches. It would help for people to remember that Rusev can work.
I know.
It's like right now he's like Lana's ex-boyfriend.
it's a good tool for WWE to use. Like they can say like you know how NBA sends people back down to the D-League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get better, then they come back, and you know, I don't know. It's not a bad idea.
All right. So you know what? We're gonna have our first cash in right now on the topic of NXT, and then we'll get into all the wrestling action. Here we go.
Oh, guess who's back? That's right, Marks. It's the Suburban Saint, the Beast from the Bay State, and the single most over member of the COW universe. It's Jack Mills, and I have finally woken up from the wrestling coma that the last 4 days have put me in. And there are three things that I want to say. Number one, after watching NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 and SummerSlam, I think we can be done discussing whether or not NXT is a better show than SmackDown or Raw. The argument is settled. I'm done discussing it. If you feel differently, your opinion is demonstrably incorrect and ultimately irrelevant. Number two, Dan Black, you claimed to have been watching NXT TakeOver live, but you posted maybe 3 comments in the live thread. Do you want us to just pretend that you watched it and move on?
Yeah, fuck because you, I'm trying to life.
We're not going to be discussing it on the podcast. And number three, who the fuck are the Lucas Brothers? All week, all over the Facebook page, we have Zig hyping this shit up like their shit don't stink and like they walk on water. Oh, they do drugs. What? Oh, yeah, they have a Netflix show. What? Oh, they were on the Grindr. What? Otherwise, shut up. Shut up. Everyone does drugs. Your stand-up special is basically the shortest on Netflix, and Grindr is an app for guys who are into butt stuff, which is fine. It's 2017, and we live in a progressive society, and you have the right to put whatever it is you want in your butt, and it's no one's business but your own. To be honest, you guys seem like pretty nice guys, and I'm sure Dan is breaking into hives at the length of this cash, and so I'll just ask this. What kind of wrestling fan are you? Are you NXT guys? Do you appreciate good wrestling? Because we already have the King of the Roman Marks, so if you're just bringing more of that, I'm just going to turn this episode off right now. Fuck the nation, fuck Tulo, and as always, the cowlick goes over.
Okay, all right, cut the... All right.
Okay. Now do you see why I talk shit on those people? When I took over this show and I put those fools on notice,
you have a megaphone?
Goddamn right, I have a megaphone.
All right, Newman, you're not allowed to be on mic. You're not allowed to ask the Lucas Bros any questions.
I'm not on mic. Am I on mic right now?
You're not on mic technically.
Yeah.
What a fucking worker. This is like Hole with the taser.
Genius.
So,
wow, we got worked.
It's a pretty genius move.
I want these guys to come back eventually. Don't fuck this up.
You got a choice. You can put me back on mic, or you got me Jim Cornette style through the megaphone, the new megaphone.
I don't know. It's a tough choice.
I think stay on the megaphone.
I like the megaphone, man.
I like the megaphone. All right, Newman, you're on the megaphone. I'm going to deal with you next week. Fucking jabroni.
Right.
Oh, my God. Anyway, if we didn't have guests here, I'd be kicking you through the barbershop window. But look. Okay. So do you guys want to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean,
Jack Mills, he is the king of audio quality.
No. It was good. Look, man, The Grinder was a good show, yo. The executive
did it. Rob Lowe's fantastic. He's a great actor.
And secondly, it's short, but it's sweet. You know, long isn't always great.
Yeah, that's true.
And who are you, dude? Go fuck yourself. Seriously. Who is this dude?
I can't believe he dissing Rob Lowe like that.
I can't diss Rob Lowe like that.
You can diss us all you want, man, but I'm not going to let you disrespect Rob Lowe.
It's
like
definitely
that.
Not Fred Savage.
Hell no. Fred Savage has done so much for our culture. The fuck has this dude done?
You haven't done as much as Fred Savage. I'm sure you haven't. Bastard.
Don't diss.
Wow.
Don't diss Fred and Rob.
You can say whatever you want about us.
Yeah, man. Look, fuck that. Fuck us.
Wow. Wow.
And we're great wrestling fans, man. We go with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Mills, it looks like you... Hold on. It looks like you...
I should have known better, dude.
All right. wow, man. You
should have known better, dude.
Okay. Okay, look. I got to tell you guys. You said, who the fuck are you to Jack Mills? I got to tell you, I don't know who the fuck he is either. But he's got great audio quality, and he's a loyal listener. Okay, look. We got to get into it. We didn't even talk about SummerSlam yet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we got SummerSlam. We got Newman on the megaphone. The main event of SummerSlam was dope.
Yep, amazing. It saved the event.
Yeah, it
saved the event for me. It was brilliant. I mean, everything, the execution, the Brock Lesnar getting injured and then coming back out.
Samoa Joe took the pin, but I knew they were going to make him take it anyway. But other than that, Braun looked like a beast.
Yeah.
The beast that he is. He can't keep losing to Roman Reigns.
Yeah. No. Well, were you surprised that they pinned Roman? I mean, look, as the Roman mark.
They pinned Roman?
Roman took the pin.
He did?
Lesnar pinned Roman.
Samoa Joe. It was a Joe that was Samoan, but it wasn't Samoa Joe.
Oh, it wasn't?
It was a Joe. Yeah. Okay. Look, Newman, relax. Roman took the pin.
I thought Roman took the pin.
Yeah,
Roman took the pin.
Roman took it, yes.
Yeah. But you would think Joe would be the guy to take the pin.
Because he went for the spear and then he.
Yeah. Zig, do we not have that? We don't have that clip?
Which clip?
The dude clip? Damn it. Anyway, Michael Cole had an amazing clip where he was like, let me put this into perspective for you. These are massive dudes. That'll be a future sound clip.
You know what's crazy, and it's hard to think about? The fact that Braun Strowman has over 100 pounds on Brock Lesnar.
That's a good point for a guy in a megaphone. That was a good point.
That was a good point. He makes Brock look tiny, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. But so, I mean,
yeah,
they got to build this guy up, man. He has to win 40 matches in a row.
He's incredible.
Strowman?
He will.
I think that has to happen. He has to go on a run where he just looks
unstoppable.
Because he's
dominating Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar dominated Roman Reigns using logic.
Yeah, which is scary. Don't do it in wrestling.
There's no logic in this wrestling logic. Essentially no logic.
Yeah. So, look, I got to give Lesnar a lot of props here for taking those bumps.
Taking ass kicking.
This is a serious fucking butt. Especially, this was before John Jones got caught juicing. You know, he's thinking he's got a big UFC fight coming up.
Yeah.
He's taking bumps that could put him out of action.
Mm-hmm.
There's no you can't fake those bumps.
That's right.
Fuck, man, Brock delivers. Especially when I was at the point where I was getting sick of Brock.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. That's the thing about Brock. Like, he understands his character.
Yes.
He's just such a smart wrestling guy. Like, he knows that he can't be indestructible for the rest of his career. So now he wants to put over guys like a Strawman. He wants to put over. He's just so committed to the craft of wrestling, I think.
You think that they're going to go Roman and Brock at WrestleMania?
I think Roman's going with John Cena.
I think they're going to do Roman Cena. I think they're going to go Roman
and
Cena.
And Braun and Brock?
I think Brock, that depends on how it goes at No Mercy.
Yeah.
They're sending him up for No Mercy. I like they're doing the Goldberg routine again on Brock, which is unbelievable. They're creative with Brock is just to when we find something that works, let's do four or five
But Strowman is the right guy. Goldberg wasn't.
Goldberg was not.
He was not. But this guy is perfect because he's bigger, he's younger, he's hungry.
Exactly.
And he makes
Brock look old and withered.
Yeah, you right. got another man. Beast, man.
Exactly.
He's a monster among men.
The yeah. only thing Brock has on him, he is a monster. You know who I do that the most with? AJ Styles.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll just be like, you know, he's just phenomenal.
He's just phenomenal.
But would you ever do that with Naomi? That's my big point about Naomi. Would you ever go like, you know, she glows.
She's glowing.
She glows.
But she's black, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it could black be people
Do you guys
glow.
Know about a glow up?
No, what's that?
Newman.
Glow up is like a transformation that somebody goes through that's like unbelievable.
He thinks that's what she's going for. I'm like, I think you're overthinking it too much. I think it's just like, hey, we can make her glow because she has no personality.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where they got. I mean,
okay.
She's from Florida, right?
Yeah, yeah, Orlando. Okay,
maybe
yeah. I went to, I was at their mania in her hometown. I was like, well, I don't know why you're telling people that. you can choose a fake hometown. Yeah, yeah,
right? You could be from anywhere. You could be from India when you're from Canada.
You could be from parts unknown. You didn't even have to.
Yeah, parts unknown. You could be from question mark. You fucking jabroni. Yeah, it's a real dumb choice. Yeah, all right, let's talk about Roman for a second. So okay. I got a lot of shit on the Facebook page because I said I thought Roman should win that match. Now, that was assuming a Brock exit. I did say that there's a chance Brock stays because he can't fight till July. Again, this is before John Jones decided to tank his career again.
Oh, God. He's an idiot.
I mean, fucking idiot. Yeah, that guy
Unless
is
Jones comes. Yeah, what the fuck?
A true heel.
Yeah.
A true...
He was trying to go the religious route, too, with the... You know, quoting the Bible, and like, whenever someone starts quoting the Bible, make sure you check.
Them niggas lying.
They're lying their ass up. Barry Bonds did the same thing.
The Bible's a massive piece of shit, right? Because then you just go in the booth, and it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't fucking kill that prostitute.
I'm quoting spiritual right now.
Fucking idiotic.
I mean, John Jones, look, it's so sad. It's really sad.
I'm not sad. Fuck it, I'm not sad.
I'm just saying it's sad. A waste of potential is always sad to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, a guy who, when I was watching him in UFC when he started, and I remember the first time he came out with just a swoosh on his shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these UFC guys come out, they got a million head jacks, links, like, hey, come party with me after I'm going to this nightclub. Like, you know, they got to wear a million sponsors. Yeah. They're beat up at the guys, like, throwing the hat on them because they're, like, cobbling together, like, enough sponsorship money to support themselves. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy just... Black shorts, a swoosh.
Yep.
And you're like, man, this guy's going to take this to the next level.
Yeah.
And he fucking blew it.
I feel sorry for DC, too, man. I mean, like, that guy put his all into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he just got cheated out of the title.
He gets the title back, though.
He should. Yeah.
If you drop the belt, it goes back.
It's what's the word? It's a good... tragic story. How about that?
Yeah,
it's gonna make for a great documentary.
If it was wrestling, it'd be amazing.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
It's a bummer that it's not wrestling.
You think he comes to the WWE though?
No, that guy. First off, I don't want him because it's a business. It's all about respect.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
This guy literally has no. Say what you want about Brock's like the closest we got to it. He's like half committed or whatever. Like this guy like won't show up.
Yeah.
He literally doesn't care about it. Like I would not want it. You don't want people wrestling just for the paycheck.
The paycheck, yeah. What about McGregor? After hit this paycheck, he won't need money anymore.
No.
He doesn't want to do UFC anymore. I would welcome him. I think McGregor has a somewhat of a respect for wrestling.
Well,
he works the
wrestlers on Twitter, right? You know what I mean? Even that shows something. John Jones has no sense of humor.
No.
He's a sociopath. I mean, that guy literally...
But he quotes the Bible.
And he's got it's like tattooed something, like Corinthians on his chest or something, which is, you know, better than a dick sword.
Sure. But, that's a good point.
But he crashed into a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And then he went back to get his money. And then whatever. So all right, that's fucking crazy. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But then the crazy thing is he goes on these apology tours where you can tell he's convinced himself that he's not doing steroids, And then I've listened to him on Rogan's podcast, like, and I believe him. You know what I mean? You're like, fuck you, man.
He might just like lying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
Yeah, right.
He's definitely a sociopath.
Anyway, back to fake sports. the guy I like. Predetermined outcomes, please. So they're set up for Strowman Brock. Who the fuck doesn't want to watch that?
Everybody does. It's going to be epic.
One thing I noticed is that he didn't suplex Strowman.
Nope.
Yep.
I'm like, can he German suplex a guy that tall and that big?
He did. Yeah. Did he get Big Show?
Yeah, Big Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might have been saving it, but when he did it to Joe, it didn't look easy.
No.
He had a hard time getting him over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's getting older, man.
So anyway, I was saying Roman. I think Roman should win it because I was like, if Brock's going to go, Roman should be the guy to beat. I'm like, there's something about me where I'm like, if Joe, all these guys are trying to take the belt off Roman, there's something to that. I'm like, oh, this time of year, mm-hmm. leading up to Mania, I felt like that was good. But I think Brock's going to keep it. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, is Brock keeping it until Mania, probably?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Especially he's not going to be, he's not fighting Jon Jones anytime soon. No, I imagine he doesn't want to take, like, random fights in UFC, right? No, like, he wants the fight. So, yeah. You guys, how do you feel about Roman?
I like him, man. I think he consistently puts on pretty decent matches. I think he's not much of a talker, which is his biggest problem, and his moves suck. But I think he's a good worker. I think he takes great bumps. I think
he's fluid in the ring. He's certainly improved dramatically from when he first came in.
I think he needs a submission.
He should get a submission.
Yeah, that's a good call.
To add some more drama to the match, I think he needs something more than a fucking punch.
He's overusing that Superman punch to a ridiculous degree.
I don't understand why he doesn't have a more versatile moveset. Like, that should be at least some more power slams or definitely a submission. He definitely needs a submission.
Yeah, so I agree. I never thought of that point. It's an amazing point. Like, he definitely could use a submission. Yeah. I think, so, all right, I came around on Roman, okay? You can tell by you guys see my vest?
I see it.
You see the vest?
Is it bulletproof?
It's maybe the opposite of bulletproof. I think it invites bullets. my thing on this podcast is that I will wear this vest with no shirt underneath to record this podcast until Roman takes off his vest, and then I'll record shirtless.
I respect that.
That'll entice him, right? He wants to see what I'm working with.
Of course.
My thing with Roman is that, like, he gets real heat. Like, it's really hard to deny the fact that, like, if you were in the WWE writers' room, mm-hmm. right, you'd be like, oh, if we put Roman, we know we're going to get a mm-hmm. response, and it's going to be a big response.
Yeah, yeah.
I always hate the thing when people are like, oh, it's just because he was pushed, it's just because this, like, people are just angry. It's past that. Like, Kevin Owens was pushed, mm-hmm. and he gets kind of no reaction from the crowd. Yeah. We all love Kevin Owens, but, like, he's not really, he's kind of like mid-card status with the crowd.
Yeah.
Roman, whether you like it or not, the heat he gets is like, man, want it.
He's a good-looking dude. I mean,
gorgeous, man.
That's what a lot of people
A lot of dudes just hate that.
Girls don't boo him like that. Every girl that I've either been with or have watched wrestling with, man, he's a very attractive guy. And I think
that alone upsets dudes.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to this quick Roman promo from this week. Because you're saying, oh, he shouldn't get on the mic. Well, he's not really getting on the mic.
He's not as good as some others. But he has to talk.
He has to talk, and I feel like they give him four sentences a week.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
But listen to this. Did you hear this? The heat, though?
The question is, are you going to run your mouth to my face?
That's it.
I feel like
I like brevity.
Man. The best wrestlers are the ones who can tell a compelling story on the mic. When you're just saying four sentences, it's like it's hard to like get behind a guy like that.
Yeah.
It's like, get Paul Heyman. Do something. Like, you got to amp up the quality of his mic skills.
Right.
It's killing him. I think it's what makes it. You can't like him. He can't even defend himself. He says the same shit over and over. It's repetitive.
You would think that he would be a better on the mic.
You're on the mic every week, man. Like, take some improv lessons and do something.
That's something that frustrates me. I don't know how you guys can feel about it as comedians. Like, you know, improv is like my main training, you know. I'm like, who's training these guys at the performance center? Why don't they hire somebody from here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, get, have them go down there. You know, one time I heard Besser was training Kanye or something. I think he did, like, a long time ago.
For the show?
Yeah, Matt Besser. Like, he gave him improv lessons for something. I don't know why Kanye wanted it. Probably because, yeah, exactly.
Besser did it for money.
Yeah, yeah. Besser did it for, you know, it was a nonprofit. But, yeah. But I'm like, who. I think part of the problem with wrestling is that they're like, the only people who could teach you how to wrestle are other wrestlers.
No.
This is a television show.
Yeah, that's right.
You need actors. You need acting coaches.
Yeah.
And as smart as Triple H is in a lot of ways, that's still an area where he fails. These guys come up to the main roster and they are jabronis on the mic.
Oh, my God.
Sasha Banks should be way better on that microphone.
She's so bad.
Yeah, what's
it's
the
like,
deal? Like,
so
are they
tough
just
to watch.
Yeah. Are they just overwhelmed by the scale of the audience? Like, is it just?
Well, I just feel like in NXT, it doesn't overemphasize mic skills.
I think it's just that, like, it's the wrestling wrestlers on wrestlers action, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, it's like, all right, the guy who's the agent is Road Dogg. It's like Michael Hayes. Like, these are the guys. It's not like any. They don't bring in any professionals, it seems like.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Regardless, they're coming out of that performance center without mic work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Finn
yeah.
was there for like 7 years or something.
He should be better on the mic. They're all just.
I got this great. I got to the elite level that I'm at right now in like 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's all it takes.
Are we all agreeing that I'm great?
You're great.
Yeah.
I think you're fantastic.
All right, guys, let's put me
wherever
over.
Whatever you want to hear.
You're not that great.
Oh. All right, Newman. Yeah,
see,
okay.
Here we go.
Oh,
there we go.
All right, anyway, you guys want to hear Newman's theme song?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, the guy that you just said that you like a lot.
No, all right, so Miz interrupted the Cena Roman segment. They're clearly teasing that the Cena Roman thing. We're gonna see it, and you know what? It's a match I want to see.
I totally want to see it.
That's the point, though. That's the point. That you, it's like this subconscious thing where you're like, oh, Roman, he's something about him.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I think they're gonna put on a great. I mean, I know they're gonna put on a great match.
They're gonna put on a great one.
Can't deny that.
Yeah, and also the thing with Roman, when I turned in favor of Roman was that I realized I liked every match he did.
Yeah.
Like every match I liked it.
He can sell. He's one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best sellers. I think he understands drama in the ring very well.
Yeah.
He's clearly a student of the technical wrestling. You can see it just like carry over in how he wrestles.
Yeah.
He just needs to work on his mic skills.
Hell yeah. And so Miz comes out and he cuts this, like, I guess a pipe bomb.
It was amazing.
It was
right?
Amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, how did you guys feel about it?
I love Miz.
When Miz speaks from truth,
hell yeah.
And you can just feel it, it just elevates. I mean, it can elevate any segment.
Well, this was true, right? He said right here. He said,
so this is what a sold out Bars case looks
like. That was from the heart.
That was from the heart. He fucked up a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, it's the Miz. He can fuck up. I love that. I think he's.
You like his Hitler haircut?
I love it. I love everything about it. He should just embrace the alt-right, I think.
Hell yeah, man.
The Miz right.
the Miz right.
I love him. I think he's one of the best.
I think he needs a push.
Yeah.
But he's dominating on with the Intercontinental title, so it's like, you know, do you keep him? You sort of, you love that he always comes from a place of, like, tragedy. So, like,
yes,
maybe he shouldn't be at the top. Maybe, like,
he needs, I think it would be a disservice to wrestling history not to give him another run.
Yes.
Considering all he's done for the company.
Miz to me is like, he's the guy I point to where I'm like, look, my whole theory with wrestling right now is like, actual wrestling mm-hmm. is better than it's ever been, the deepest than it's ever been.
Yeah,
right?
Agreed.
We watched our whole lives.
Yeah,
like, there was a time where only like two guys could actually work on the card, you know?
I mean,
and you have Dink and Doink coming on.
Okay. Who I respect a lot.
Yeah, respect. Of course I do. Whatever.
Doink was all right. Dink, on the other hand, we could have done without Dink.
Doink could work, man. But, but we're missing stars. Like, we're missing big stars, and that's kind of what we're talking about coming out of the performance center.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we're missing. Like, Finn is, like, great, but, like, there is something missing there where it's like, I don't know. Cena, and when you see Roman, they're pushing him that way. Cena is going to go.
Yeah,
like, he's got what I'm talking about. Cena is undeniable, you know?
Strowman. I think he's a superstar.
Strowman?
Yeah.
I think he definitely is a superstar. It's tough to, like, there's part of me that thinks, like, when a guy's over 300 pounds, they can't be, like, what?
They can never be. Yeah.
You have to be, like, 260 to be, like, whatever. Yeah, but I don't know. But that's not true. He can, Strowman can hit some unprecedented.
So this is what a sold-out
and while we're at it, let's see what this one is.
Can you just say that me as WWE Universal Resort? Whoa!
Yeah. So the thing about Miz is, like, I think Miz is the guy who has all the tools that if they just put the rocket to him, like, they hurt him because they pushed him too early at 27.
That's right.
And then, but now he's ready.
He's ready. Clicking on all cylinders.
Yes.
Man. He's ready.
That's why I was disappointed with this promo. See, I think it was. Because it was good. It was great. Like, I know why we all liked that moment. The timing was super good to come out. Part of me thought there was two elements to it that I didn't like. I thought that he went too soft on Roman and Cena. I was like, he just kind of like, he was just like, you guys, why am I not getting opportunities? You know, you guys get everything, this and this, but like, attack them. Pipe bomb them a little bit. Like, mention how at 27, like, you know, Cena didn't help him get over. Or talk about how Roman stinks on the microphone and the crowd, you know.
That's fair.
He said some, you know, I was like, just
You think
go.
He held back?
I think he held back, that made it feel like too much of a work
a
shoot. It was one of his least effective work shoots for me. I know that's because it was on Raw, actually, not on Talking Smack.
That's right.
But that, and then the next element of it was... hold on. I didn't like that it ended with him.
I was going to say that. I hated that.
Joe showed up, and then he just got... We got
tossed out.
Right.
Yeah.
He's regularly got work. I was like, why is Joe here?
Yeah.
And I felt like his performance, talk about performance, was too manic. You could see from the start that he was like, this is a big moment, and that's why he said Barske is wrong.
Yeah. You think he was overthinking it?
And he was yelling.
Yeah.
You think about the pipe bomb. It was calm.
It was very calm.
It was collected.
And that's why it was so effective.
It felt different. I was like, this... I just think it was a missed moment, but the timing was so good. So I felt disappointed. Obviously, it was still really good.
Yeah.
It was really good, but I was like, fuck, this is like...
I think when you compare it to his, you know, the Talking Smack one, it seemed a little bit more cartoonish, but...
Right.
Well, because now he has to play this role of the villain who's going to be squashed by the superheroes. And I think on some level he knows that. I don't know. I don't know what advantage he has in this sort of storyline, aside from being squashed by Cena and Roman Reigns, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah. So it's like, if we're going to... we don't need more like almost Miz. I mean, we could take more. We could take more like almost Miz moments.
Yeah, but it's not going to lead to anywhere.
Exactly. You know, like fucking, this guy's so good. Do you not see it? Like, I like not having him wrestle on the SummerSlam card, so it gives him that tragedy. I love you put a tragedy. It's like the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
But then, like, now what's the plan?
I just wish they put him in a legitimate feud. Something that's, I mean, that's not Dean Ambrose, but not
Ambrose
like,
to bury you.
Yeah.
I blame John Cena for sort of the way that the Miz's promo came off.
Yeah.
Because he was doing that thing that Cena does that I hate, which is like...
Ironic detachment?
Like, are you cutting the promo? Commit a little bit harder and give him something to work with instead of like just cutting him down.
Well, Cena is in... You're hitting on something that I was thinking. Like, Cena is in that, like, The Rock after the Scorpion came home. You know what I'm talking about? All right, you're not even like... Everything you do is, like, detached and removed. You're not the guy who's, like... so committed to talking about how expensive his shirts are. I bought a Rock DVD, and I bought the one that was the making of Scorpion King, and it's already shit. There's only one good Rock DVD. It's called The People's Champ. I got it in my house. I watch it too much. And he takes you to his barbershop.
Oh, nice.
He takes you to buy shirts. The prices are fake on the shirts. It's so fucking kayfabe. It's amazing. It's before we, like, you know.
I got to watch that. I'll
lend it to you.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or we'll watch it.
Yeah, let's do it.
we'll watch it together, guys.
I'm down.
We'll get a pizza.
Yeah, let's do it.
And
let's make
and we'll
it
be
a,
on drugs.
Let's make it a rock
on Netflix
day.
Now.
No, that's a good one.
It's the perfect length.
It's good. Perfect. Short and sweet.
I'm not doing anything.
No. I know you're not doing anything. Everybody knows that you're not doing anything. Okay. Moving on. So, Owens AJ. Owens AJ match.
Solid.
Good match.
Good.
It's kind of what I'm talking about. This match made me feel like this is why you need a Cena, why you need a Roman.
Yeah.
It's like these guys are fucking great, but if they're not in Japan, it's a different product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fans weren't really into it, and it was like, this match should be bigger, but you can tell it was like, oh, these are indie darlings, so, yeah.
And they actually don't have great chemistry, surprisingly.
No.
They put on good matches, but not, like, I was quoting them as, I'm like, why would that not be, I was like, that should be the main event.
On paper.
I was like, that at WrestleMania, I was like, that's the match everyone wants to see, because then it has potential to be 5-star, but then I was like, I don't think it does.
What were they beefing over? Oh, just the belt?
Yeah.
Just over the belt.
They didn't build up the narrative. I mean, like, the story was kind of weak, so it was like,
you
had no, and they fought on, they've been fighting so much that it's just
house,
like,
shows.
Yeah, it's not, it wasn't a compelling story, and they fought too much, and people were just like, eh.
And they ended it on SmackDown, which was cool. They're like, all right, if you lose this match, then you don't get any more shots at the U.S. title. So that's where we're at, right?
Hmm.
So I think, like, that's good. So that feud's
so
over.
So it was a frivolous feud.
Kevin Owen seems really difficult to write for. If I was like, I don't know what I would do with him. Like, he's an amazing wrestler, but and he's great. He's got a great charisma to him, but something about it is like, it doesn't land.
Well, it's either he's like this monster, or he's just like prankster, joking guy.
Yeah,
and it's hard to
synthesize it.
It's very hard to synthesize the two.
Yeah, I don't know why they need to. I always think they need to add a touch of '90s wrestling, like a touch of like him coming out with some Cheetos, or like, you know what I mean? Like, just like a touch.
Yeah,
like a touch of like character, like he's in the back playing video games and forgets to come out when his music's playing. Like, something that's like,
I mean, I love what they did with him in NXT, where he was like, he's willing to do whatever it took to provide for his family. I mean, it gave him you know, an emotional arc.
Yeah. So you can't trust him.
Yeah. He's going to do whatever it takes. Yeah. But now he's like a silly villain, which villains always get squashed. Right?
you can't be a silly villain.
You can't be a silly villain.
Yeah. If you're a silly villain, then, like, you know, you
should have known better, dude.
Okay.
I mean, look at Bray, man. Let's just
All right. You know what? Let's get into Bray. Yeah. What the fuck do you do with Bray Wyatt?
I mean, like, what's the word I'm looking for? His threats are so empty now.
Yeah,
like, how many times is he going to challenge a wrestler who's not dark enough, and then it loses?
And it's always the same way. He does that little thing where he arches his, like, that little thing with the F for
whatever
reason.
The spider
walk.
And
then they get up, and then the match is over. The same thing happened with Undertaker when they fought Undertaker and Kane. He did that thing, and then the Undertaker got up, and then the match ended.
It's like, I don't see what the point of he's like the first villain in the, when you're playing a video game and you got to get past that first villain in order to make it. Like,
you know what we call that on this podcast?
What's that?
We call it the jobber to the stars. So, like,
the
jobber to the stars. Like, that's like Kane. It's like, oh, you know, when you're going to beat him, but it's like going to be count as like, oh, you're going to be scared of him for a second,
but
he's just a speed bump.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's a jobber.
Yeah. He's a
high class jobber.
That's
high end jobber. You know what I mean?
It just undercuts all of the credibility, like,
so many avenues that if they just committed to them, you're like, all right, even if you just had it where, like, the only way you can wrestle Bray is in the House of Horrors, right? All right, people hated that match, whatever, but just fucking lean into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you lean into John Cena, you lean into Roman Reigns, just like lean in.
Just gotta lean in,
just be like, yo, this guy, and then you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Every town you go to, they find an abandoned house, and he's the champion, and if you want to wrestle a champion, you gotta go to the house. Like, something like that, you know?
They handled it perfectly with Mankind. I mean, I don't understand. Like,
you
never got the sense that Mankind was a jobber, even though he didn't lose. He probably lost more matches than he won, but he never got the sense. And maybe that's more of a testament to Mick Foley than it is to.
Yeah,
I don't know. Mick is great, but I feel like they're just doing everything wrong with Bray.
I mean, he was the champion for such a blip of time.
So brief.
That was like, I mean, it's just, it's sad because the guy has some of the most talent on the roster.
He's amazing.
Especially on the microphone. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like,
he's good in the ring, too.
He's a solid wrestler, too.
Yeah,
he's great in the ring.
It's great. Well, I don't know what they're thinking with when... I can only imagine if I'm a writer for WWE, okay? I'm not. Not, guys.
Do you want to be?
I think about would I take that job? Because I would have to move to Stamford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. That's rough.
And my wife hates wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you will be a slave to Vince McMahon.
More of my job. But I couldn't turn that job down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got, yeah. But if I hand Bray Wyatt, if the promos they claim are so scripted, right? We have writers who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. I know they listen to the show. But I don't talk to them or anything, you know? It's very professional. It's like, hey, how are you? What does it say and what does he deliver? Part of me thinks he goes off script.
Oh, he has to go off script.
They have to be giving him shit that's more sensical. He just throws it out every time.
His promos are some of the best, and it's like you can tell that he's committed to detracting a little bit from script. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's...
Right.
It seems some of it seems improvised.
The thing to do about Bray is... here's what I would do with Bray. I would book Bray. I've always said this. Bray Wyatt... I actually said... I realized recently that I would have booked Bray the same way they've been booking Baron Corbin. Push him like in that way, like where he's like, you know, like he gets the briefcase. Yeah. Like then you can have him floating and he can be a mysterious and like shit like that.
Yeah.
And he's get, you know, but I think not until recently.
Well, until they
Corbin
buried,
got buried. Corbin got buried.
Did he lose the money?
Cena clean.
He lost the money in the bank.
Lost the money. It was a rough week for buried Corbin.
Buried Corbin.
But
why did they bury him, you know?
I heard that back, like, in the back, they were pissed off at him.
Just because he's an asshole?
No one said why, but, like, people were upset. Newman, you got any info?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just seems like everyone always has heat backstage. Mm-hmm. So you never know if that's, like, really a...
No, all right, I finally let you say something, and you fucking knew nothing. All right. all right. So yeah, let's get into the WWE champion. Is it crazy how low on the priority is to even bring up? Do you remember who the champion is?
Yeah, it's what's the guy's name? Jinder, right?
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. That match was horrible.
Horrible
for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Except for the Singh brothers.
I love
those guys.
The flying Singh brothers.
The flying Singh brothers are the best.
Oh, you guys relate to the Singh brothers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish you were. Are we related to the Singh brothers?
We should be.
You should be.
I relate to them in the sense that they're small guys and they're brown.
Are they? Are you saying it right here? Are you revealing that there are four Lucas brothers?
There are four Lucas brothers.
Taking over the world.
Two of them are part of Jinder Mahal's entourage. So would you guys take that job?
Would you guys
be Jinder Mahal's heater?
Yeah. Sure. That'd be dope.
Would you take those bumps from Randy on the table when he flipped? You flip you guys
I'll
over?
Do it. I would do it once. Yeah. I would do it once.
I would take any bump once.
Yeah, you got to do it once. I took a D'Lo Brown bump.
What?
Yeah, he was on our sketch show and he did the lowdown.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was in pain for a whole month.
To let you know, I watched him live on floor seats, paralyzed draws with that move.
Were you there?
Yeah. Not a joke. I literally was in, then I was there.
Yeah, that's why I was part terrified, but I was like, fuck it, I gotta do this.
Apparently, that was like a real freak accident.
Yeah.
That was like really freak. Like, he didn't even deliver it wrong. Yeah. Or like, I think it was just real weird. Anyway.
D'Lo was great, though, man. Like, he was.
D'Lo was nice.
He wore a vest as well.
Yeah, he did wear a vest. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, that's cool. that's good. I got nothing to say about it. I've been super kicked by Ziggler.
Shit, that's dope. I got an X Factor by Xbox.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
That you got to sell. That takes a lot of work on your part.
I
right?
know. I had to.
It's like full because you can actually. It'd be really funny to like not fall down for that. he looks like a real asshole. Oh, do you mean Bronco Buster?
Yeah.
No. Or you mean X-Factor? You mean the face plant?
Face plant.
Yeah. Dope. That's I think that's Brie Bella's finisher.
Oh,
also.
Is it really?
Yeah. All right. So Jinder Mahal. I mean, and Shinsuke.
Forgettable match. Very forgettable.
I don't remember what happened here. I think you guys interrupted.
Yeah.
So like, if Jinder's the champion,
yeah,
then make him the fucking champion.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have a half-ass champion.
They don't care about the match. It seems that they're just indifferent about the stories. And
yeah.
They're literally utilizing him to promote the brand in India. And that's, they're not hiding away from that.
During the match, they were literally...
They mentioned India so many times. But they weren't even talking about him. It was it's the largest guy. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's just like, India number one.
Yeah.
India number the whole fucking time. I was like, they don't care about him.
No,
they clearly
don't
give a fuck about him.
They were talking about how stars from India sent him on Twitter. Like, what is that? It's so irrelevant. Like,
Bollywood stars.
Bollywood stars, yeah.
This might make you a Jinder mark, okay? Jinder Mahal, I am on the Jinder Mahal meal plan. I get my meals shipped to me from the company that he uses.
Oh, really?
I read about it in his GQ article, and then I just signed up. And there you have to choose who is your reference. And I wrote the WWE champion, Jinder Mahal, with a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah.
And then he mailed me an autograph.
Oh, wow.
Just on that.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
He seems like a nice guy. Okay, and look, I'm not denying that he's a nice guy. Is he a good wrestler? He's a good talker.
I think he's a solid wrestler.
I don't think he's a good wrestler.
You think he can work?
He doesn't put on memorable matches.
No.
Which is, I mean, I don't know if that's a testament to his skills or...
He's limited.
He's very limited.
Kicks, punches, a few body slams.
I feel like whenever he's on the show, I just want to... But, I mean, look, no, it's... I like Jinder a lot as the champion. He looks fucking awesome. He's so yoked up. And like,
and I mean, the stable's dope. Him to sing, bro. It's a dope
I think
look.
They need a female valet. I think they need an Indian woman. I think that'll take him to the next.
I think they're going to get more Indians in there. Why not put fucking... bring back Khali just to stand there.
No matches. Yeah.
No matches, but who doesn't want Khali just standing outside the ring when you're wrestling?
Yeah.
No, I think it's dope, but it's a bummer.
And make him more vicious, man. Like he should be
winning.
Winning or clean.
I don't know about clean, but at least like pick up a chair and just start smashing people.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Either that. If you want him to cheat, don't have him. He feels like he doesn't even think he's cheating.
I know. That's right.
And it's not even like it's like interruptions that allows for him to win. Like I hate that. Like it should be like a chair shot to the face and then he takes it, but whatever.
Yeah. But it's just there's like not that much to say.
Yep.
There's not that much to say about Jinder except for that he looks awesome.
He looks great.
He looks great.
Fantastic.
He sounds kind of cool also.
He does. Yeah.
He's got a cool voice.
The music is dope.
The music is dope. Everything about him, everything is packaged well. I think it's they're just not putting him in any like interesting storyline.
Is this a fair impression of Jinder? I've never tried this.
Be careful.
No.
This aim is Andy.
This won't be racist. And also, this is audio, so just assume I'm Indian for this.
Has anything not racist ever followed? This
All right, let's move on then. When he's not on microphone, he's just holding the belt up and just going, and that's it. Like, isn't that always? He's just always like, and then he's not saying anything.
What does that mean?
Teacher.
Is that what that means? Yeah. Teacher?
Yeah.
The modern day teacher?
like master, like, you know. Like
where did they say he was from?
They say he's from Punjab.
Punjab.
He's from Canada.
He's from Toronto.
He's from Toronto. He's not. That's a problem.
I'm the modern teacher.
He's just like screaming. Like, you know when like AJ's coming out and he's just like, I'm phenomenal. I'm the best.
Too sweet
just
myself.
Jinder's, too sweet. Too sweet. Man. Oh, yeah, baby. This is it. And Jinder's just walking down. All right.
They told him to play up that Indian stuff.
They really
doubled. Is that Indian? Say Maharaja all the time?
It feels like a WWE version of what happens in India.
Vince McMahon's
interpretation.
Kayfabe Indian.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real thing. It is definitely a real thing. Yeah. I mean, I felt like Shinsuke did everything he could in that match.
He tried to make it cool.
But, I mean, they blew it. Shinsuke, there's a waste of Shinsuke. Like, that should have been, I think, Jinder Cena. Why not just have Jinder Cena?
It should have been Jinder Cena.
Like, that would feel like a cool match. I think maybe, like, it was a real, like, racially sensitive time. It still is. And I think maybe they're like, all right, maybe, like, putting our, like, mega white dude up against, like, this guy whose heat is us booing India for no reason. Because nobody hates India. That's what we're talking about on this podcast. Yeah. We're just booing India. It was the day on SmackDown, the day Trump... double down on his shitty many sides argument in that like rant. There's so many to keep count. You can't even keep count.
Yeah.
The day that happened was the day that on SmackDown everyone was just booing India when the show started.
Wrestling fans don't give a fuck. They don't follow politics.
They did a USA chant.
Of course.
It was amazing.
We're not even beefing.
No.
I mean, economically.
You know, they're always against the foreign. It doesn't matter if it's Canada.
Foreign menace.
Nationalism is rampant in wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
All right. We're winding down. Let's get there. So anyway, how did you feel about Cesaro versus the Beach Ball?
That was dope.
That was dope,
I love
right?
Cesaro, man.
Oh, he's the greatest.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
I kind of think people are getting like a little, I've heard are people like seriously being like, you bring that beach ball to wrestling, like that's like so disrespectful.
Oh,
like
what
this.
The fuck?
And yeah, you're yeah. like, yo, this is fucking wrestling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a circus, bro.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Like, let people have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. People are encouraged to bring signs.
Yeah, yeah.
And every sign is just your first initial with W-O after it.
But as long as,
like, I mean, the Keith World Order.
As long as we can get Cesaro going into the stands, you know, tearing up beach balls. I mean, let's keep the beach balls.
Hell yeah.
It's made for good TV.
It was cool because I was at the Mania, the Raw after Mania, and that's the beach balls were like rampant there. And I remember during the Cesaro match, they were going nuts with the beach balls. And I think it was actually a feud that they built up against the beach balls.
That's funny. That's
great. Cesaro's best feud to
date. Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Rollins' pants?
Dope. I mean, with the
red
ones?
The
red ones?
Why was everyone wearing red and black? Do you notice that? A lot of people were
because
red.
He was trying to...
Everybody was wearing red. But everyone was doing it.
Oh.
A lot of people were doing it. Not everyone.
That is true.
Why I saw a lot of red and black.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird.
Maybe Raw Allegiance?
Maybe that's what happens.
I think red is like, you know, it's like sports car. Right? You do it. All right, so they won the titles. Like, that's cool.
That was the second best match.
That was the match that I was like, why didn't they open with this match?
Yeah, that was a good match.
That was like, but that match was cool. I'm happy they won the belts. Like, let's hold them till Mania. Let's see Broken Hardys versus. And so they lost the match. The Hardys lost a match on Raw, which is like, ooh, they're already breaking. Yeah. They're breaking. Mm-hmm. We're starting that feud. But the Hardy Boys might as well unsign if they're not going to be broken today.
I know.
I don't need this nostalgia.
No, I'm over it. It's not Dudley's 2.0. Yeah, let's do something innovative.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, so Sasha wins the belt. What do you guys think?
Meh.
Yeah. The match was
that
lame.
Minute. The fucking crowd was dead during that match.
Yeah,
definitely.
I like Sasha needs to go to a hill. Tomorrow, like he needs to be a heel. The match was
because the thing with Sasha is she seems to be getting some real heat in real life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People, her fans hate her.
Yeah.
She is notorious for she doesn't like sign autographs. She doesn't take pictures. She walks by fans like they all they hate like right.
They say she's a bit of a diva in the back too, right?
Yeah, and I think Vince doesn't like her from what you pick up on. Oh. And my thing is like, look, she needs a real title run. I knew she was going to win the belt because anytime somebody fills in, they win the belt.
Yeah, yeah.
They love that move, which shows you how last minute they booked there. But I'm like, man, Sasha, like, that promo. Oh, my God. Zig, are you pissing in the cup again?
Zig's peeing again.
Stop peeing.
Yo, Zig, you got to stop doing that. You're supposed to be a professional. You're the audio engineer, and you're making
sometimes
noise.
You got
to
pee. Yeah, man.
All right, anyways, nothing to say. Sasha seems to be like another one. We talked a bunch about her. She cut that just a bland promo.
So bland.
Just like, I'm here and I'm a... All she says is, I'm a boss.
Yeah. Boss.
It's like, show me you're a fucking boss.
Yeah.
Hang out with a celebrity or something. I guess Snoop. That's your uncle. That's not cool.
But yeah, if you're going to be a boss, you got to be a boss. And she's... Man, there's no depth anymore, man. I mean, is she a villain or is she a good guy? If you're saying shit, like, if you're bragging, I mean, I get it, but it's like...
I think, she has a confused identity.
Yep.
And it's hurting the storytelling with her.
Yeah, like, how would you make her a boss? What would you book her to be like, you're a boss? Like, what would do something that Because, you know, I don't really know what that means.
Like, Ted DiBiase, like, how he was $1 million man. Just, like, arrogant and, you know... Throwing your money around.
Yeah.
And just like,
she does nothing boss related.
She does not do any boss.
She's like, she walks around basically like, I was good in NXT. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it.
That means nothing.
Her last good match, well, I guess her matches with Charlotte. Yeah, no, she's a good wrestler. There's no question about that. It's just
character development.
Yeah.
You think she's a good wrestler?
Sasha, yeah.
I just feel like all of her matches seem like, when she takes bumps, I always get so scared.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to hurt herself, and she doesn't seem like she has a lot of control of her body.
Yes.
So,
well, to be fair, a point I haven't got anyone to confirm this, but, you know, the female wrestlers wrestle in the guy's ring.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, Sasha's like 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
Like, she's tiny. Those ropes are too far apart
for
her.
That's fair. That's a good argument.
I think no one ever talks about fact that you have to, like, imagine the WNBA, well, it's the same height, the hoop, right?
No.
The ball's smaller.
Wait, the ball's smaller.
Yeah, the hoop is the same height.
The hoop's the same height.
That's the mistake. But the ball's smaller, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Part of it thinks like, you know, especially because now it's not about glamazons.
Like 4'7". Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They're hiring talents who are for their wrestling ability. So, you know,
I think a small arena is not a bad idea. But where are they going to put the small ring?
All right. Anyway, Natalya won the belt. I don't know. Anything to say about that?
She stinks.
All right. You preach, baby.
Okay. Natalya has done nothing over the last 2 years to earn that belt.
Yeah.
Besides be a flatline dud across all metrics.
Jeez.
Her look stinks. Mm. Her mic work stinks.
Yep.
Her moves stink.
Yep.
I'm part of the Hart family. Cool. Yeah. I'm wearing Bret Hart's jacket. Cool. What else you got?
Yep. Yeah.
That's it. And I like Naomi a lot, so it bummed me out that this person who does nothing took the belt for no reason.
All right. I'm glad you're here today.
Yeah.
That was good because I didn't have it in me to shoot on her that
hard. Yeah, that was hardcore, man.
That was brutal. All right. I think we'll wrap it up by just saying, any thoughts about anything specific on NXT before I get shit from my listeners for not covering NXT? Guys, the thing with NXT is that you're going to give me shit for this? There's not that much to say because all you got to say is like, that was fucking dope.
Yeah. You complain about SummerSlam. Yeah. You marvel at how NXT they keep putting on a good product.
Yeah.
And we gotta be thankful.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just like, that was dope. Oh, we did not cover one last thing, which is Bobby Roode's call up.
Yeah. I'm scared. Yeah. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. They have a good run at NXT, and then they get called up, and then, you know, they're squandered.
You know,
he's so good. I just watched this hardcore match with a TNA, which was brilliant. I forgot who it was with. But, he's good, man. I like him.
Are they making him – he's not – is he heel? He's not going to be a –
He had a pretty face.
Yeah, see, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, but he did call himself Glorious, which is not really the most face thing
that's
to
fair.
Do. It's a ridiculous adjective. I wonder about the Glorious thing, because calling yourself Glorious could easily go sour. Mm-hmm. He has the amazing song, so I think he'll be okay.
He has an amazing song. Great.
Yeah, I love Bobby Roode. I mean, he's like, bring him up. Let's do it. And also, I'm glad they're not doing that thing where, like, he's going to wrestle more in NXT, like, double time. Like, there's enough to focus on here. If you want to bring him up, bring him up.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, that was a kind of a shitty debut. It was like, wrestle 8 in English.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it made me think, like, well, they're pushing Shinsuke too fast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there is something to, like, the slow build. Like, Strowman came in, had a bunch of squashes.
Yeah.
Had this guy come in. You know what I mean? And, like, give him some mic time after every match. Have these matches go faster, faster. Yeah. Eventually have him beat the Jobber to the Stars, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
Well, I mean, once he beats Bray, you put him over that speed bump. Am I right?
Jobber to the Stars.
Okay. So last thing, and this is the last thing. SummerSlam's back in Brooklyn next year. How do you feel about that?
I'm happy. I want to try to go and see it.
Yeah. Did you go any of these past 3 years? Were you in New York for it?
Well, I was, but I went to, like, Raw events. I never went to SummerSlam. I regret it.
Yeah. I was there also one time, too, and I regret it, too. I had a wedding, and then I had a thing, they always extend the wedding into Sunday. Yeah, it's like, it's enough for your fucking wedding.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what, I'll just watch it. I was at home, and I was in Long Island, and I was like, you know, forget it.
I was very close to getting a ticket and flying and going.
Yeah.
I'm happy I didn't because this one sucked, but I think I may try to find myself in Brooklyn next year just to make sure it happens.
Totally.
Are you going to Mania?
What's up?
You going to Mania?
I go to Mania every year.
I'm going this year.
Yeah. I'll be out there. What's up?
You already get
I don't have tickets yet. Did they start? They go on sale?
I don't know.
I buy them like normally. I get an email that's like, they're going on sale, and then we go. But we'll chill and we'll hang at Mania.
I definitely want to go.
Yeah, I go every year, and like me and my, I have two friends, and one lives in New York, one I live here, he lives in San Francisco. Every year we go.
That's awesome.
And it's the fucking, it's the best weekend of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just so, it's so much fun. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love it. Even this Mania was garbage, and we still had an awesome time, and the venue was awful. 32 was amazing just because that arena was incredible. I was bummed it was in Brooklyn because the year I moved here was the last year they did it in the Staples Center.
Crazy.
They did it 6 years in a row in the Staples Center. I move here, they move it to where I moved from. Anyway, that sucked a dick. Hey, dudes, I feel like any last thoughts? for the Jabroniac Nation? Anything for Jack Mills, the dude who shot on you?
Jack Mills, he can die. I mean, I can find out that he died, and I'd be okay
because I know Rob Lowe's still alive.
That's right.
Entertaining the masses.
Fuck yeah. And more than anything, Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Matters the most.
He matters.
If you can take one thing away from this podcast, is that Rob Lowe is always over.
You don't disrespect. Please don't disrespect. Don't do that. Disrespect anything else.
Dudes, thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. It's awesome. It's always good to chop it up with you guys. A lot of really good thoughts. Tragedy. The Miz tragedy.
The Miz tragedy.
The tragedy of Miz.
The tragedy of fucking Miz.
The tragedy of Miz. It's amazing how you get worked and you're just like, oh, I'm getting worked. Like, him being down is what I like about it. You're like, no, they're fucking him over. No, they're fucking over my guy. Okay, and they're really fucking him over. They're like, no, they're putting him over by fucking him over.
Right.
I'm still stupid to this shit. No matter how much I watch this two-dimensional theater show with dance fighting, I still fucking every single week get tricked by something. And that's what the beauty of
it's
wrestling.
The beauty of
it's
it.
The best.
That's why we're still here. I'm still emotionally invested.
Hey guys, if you guys see my wife, because you shot something, recently. Yeah. I don't know if you were on set together, but you were crashing. Yeah. If you see it, just tell her how good wrestling is.
I'm going to try. I'll try to convert her.
I'm trying to give her the rub. You know, I'm trying to get her to be into it. Hey, guys, make sure you check out On Drugs on Netflix.
Yes.
Be on drugs when you watch it. Then watch it not on drugs because it's a whole different experience.
It's nice and short, so you can get right through it.
What is dumb complaint? I didn't like that complaint because it's not about quantity. It's a quality
it's
thing.
Quality.
It's a hard hitter. This thing is so potent. It's drugs.
Exactly. It's drugs.
Yeah, this isn't fucking time release.
No. It hits you hard.
You're not going to make a time release fucking special.
No, that's not our style.
Exactly. What are we, Dink the Clown? Anyway, everybody, you can, anything else you want to plug?
Thanks for having us.
This is the fucking best. Hey, everybody, join our Facebook page. If you want to talk about wrestling at 3 in the morning, people are doing it on there. Comedians of Wrestling. You can follow me on Twitter at @DBlackAttack. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at @COW Podcast. And, hey, tell your friends about this show and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.